Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about bull trout, the Spring Creek mine near Decker, and avalanche danger in the backcountry. It's Wednesday, January 8th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. U.S. Senators Steve Daines of Montana and John Barrasso of Wyoming have signed onto a resolution seeking to dismiss the recently passed articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump before the House sends them over. The proposed change to the Senate rules announced Monday would allow members to dismiss the articles of impeachment without debate if the House doesn't provide them to the chamber within 25 days of their adoption. Roughly a dozen Republican senators supported the rule change. In a video statement, Daines called the impeachment a, quote, rigged process, end quote, and said House Democrats have been obsessed with impeaching Trump before he was sworn into office.
Well, it's time to put up or shut up and stand up to Nancy Pelosi.
Breaking from precedent, House Speaker Pelosi has not indicated when she plans to refer the articles to the Senate, saying she wants more details on Senate trial rules. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said the Senate will not hold a trial to remove the president from office before receiving the House impeachment articles. The Senate must pass the proposed impeachment rule change by two-thirds, or 67 votes, a likely uphill challenge for Republicans who hold a slim majority. If adopted, the 25 days would expire Sunday. Democrat Whitney Williams and Republican U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte led the fourth quarter fundraising in Montana's gubernatorial race. Williams reported raising more than $439,000 during her first 3 months as a candidate and reports having $250,000 in cash on hand. Gianforte raised over $345,000 in the final 3 months of 2019 and has more than $780,000 available. Democrat Mike Cooney raised about $200,000 in the past 3 months and has $180,000 available, while Republican Attorney General Tim Fox reported raising nearly $106,000 and reports having just under $200,000 remaining. Montana's primary elections are in June. Anglers will no longer be able to harvest bull trout in Lake Coconusa west of Eureka due to declining population of the threatened species. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
The Montana Fish and Wildlife Commission approved a state agency request Monday to close down anglers' opportunity to harvest one bull trout per year on Lake Coconusa. It's one of two locations where the species can be legally harvested in the state. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks counts the number of bull trout spawning nests every fall, and the counts in 2019 came in low. Numbers have been steady over the past 6 years. FWP spokesperson Dylan Tabish says there could be a number of reasons for the low count last fall.
And over the years, habitat loss, degradation from land and water management practices, connectivity issues from dams that isolate or fragment populations, and predation, hybridization with non-native fish species.
The closure on Lake Coconusa will take effect March 1st. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A Native American tribe in Montana has planned a celebration after recently gaining federal recognition. The Great Falls Tribune reported Monday that the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians of Montana has announced plans to host a celebration January 25th in Great Falls. Officials say the celebration comes about 1 month after President Donald Trump signed the National Defense Authorization Act, containing an amendment giving the Little Shell Tribe federal recognition. Tribal council members say the free celebration will be held at the Holiday Inn from 5 to 10 p.m. and is open to the public. Members say the celebration includes dinner, entertainment, and speeches from dignitaries and council members. Montana officials say a Navajo Nation company may continue operating a coal mine for 2 more months amid negotiations over the terms of a state permit. The extension announced yesterday keeps about 300 miners at work at the Spring Creek mine near Decker. The Montana Department of Environmental Quality and the Navajo Transitional Energy Company have been negotiating how the department might be able to take the company to court to enforce environmental laws despite tribal sovereignty. Rebecca Harbage is the public policy director with the DEQ.
Really, the crux of the sovereign immunity issue is we're not sure exactly how to address the potential sovereign immunity of a tribal entity off of tribal land.
The company's purchase of Spring Creek and two Wyoming mines in a 2019 bankruptcy sale made it the third biggest U.S. coal company. The Spring Creek mine briefly shut down in October due to a dispute over the extent to which the tribally owned company is subject to state environmental law. Experts say an avalanche that killed two Montana snowmobilers was triggered when two riders tried to dig out a third whose snowmobile was stuck. The Missoulian reported the West Central Montana Avalanche Center released the analysis Monday into the January 1st avalanche that killed 24-year-old Jade Green and 26-year-old Lowell Grosfold. A third man survived the avalanche north of Seeley Lake. The center's preliminary report released online says the avalanche began at 6,740 feet in elevation. The center had issued an avalanche warning that day after a storm deposited additional snow on unstable terrain. Silver Mountain Ski Resort in the Idaho Panhandle announced yesterday that an avalanche killed two skiers and injured five others. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the slide follows wet, heavy snowfall over the past couple of days, which is also keeping avalanche danger high in the backcountry.
The avalanche at Silver Mountain occurred late Tuesday morning. The resort reported 26 inches of snowfall in the past couple of days, much of it wet and heavy. The resort did not return a call for comment, but did announce late Tuesday afternoon on social media that the search for additional skiers was ongoing. It's unknown if others may still be trapped. Much of northern Idaho and northwest Montana received wet, heavy snow at high elevations over the past couple of days. Both the Idaho Panhandle and Flathead Avalanche Centers say that snow fell on top of unstable, fluffier layers. Lead forecaster in the Idaho Panhandle, Jeff Thompson.
I dug this morning in the backcountry in the Selkirks and saw that those deeper instabilities are starting to wake up. And I think that this load from this snow is going to increase the danger for sure.
Thompson's counterpart in the Flathead Valley, Blaze Reardon, says northwest Montana is seeing similar conditions.
There's also some buried persistent weak layers from our last high elevation freezing rain event, which was New Year's Eve. And that layer has got some weak snow right around it, just under it.
Both Reardon and Thompson say another storm system is on its way and could drop significant snow before the weekend. Avalanche dangers are likely to remain high, and both forecast centers are encouraging skiers to keep an eye on the forecast and wear safety gear. In a separate incident, authorities say two snowmobilers recently died near Seeley Lake in an avalanche triggered when two riders tried to get a third sled unstuck. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for You Early Birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.